I want to welcome all of our online folks. We love you. We are so excited that you get to worship the Lord with us. And y'all, people watch online from all over the world. We have people that watch from Iran. There's people that watch from everywhere, and so that's amazing. And it's awesome to have a place to be able to connect when you can't make it to church and still have church, amen? So let's give our online folks a hand this morning. Yeah. In case I haven't met you yet, I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors on staff, and our Pastor Robin is in Austin today preaching at Promised Land Central for their 50th anniversary. That is so awesome, so just so cool. And today we're continuing the sermon series called Mixtape. How many of y'all ever made a mixtape? Well, there's some people in here. I detect that there are some 80s folks and some 90s folks in here. But y'all, we made mixtapes when we wanted to convey our deepest feelings for someone we loved. There was a perfect song for it. And we would pour our heart and our soul into a mixtape, and every song was conveying a deep message. And so we want to make a mixtape for all of our relationships. We want a mixtape that tells, you know, that says, hey, this is how we live for God. And yes, last Sunday we had a mixtape for intimacy, and man, that was a tough sermon. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Robin preached that sermon and I didn't have to. But today we want to make a mixtape for all of our relationships. And so honestly, the world and society is going to tell you a different way to have your relationships. Movies tell us a certain way to have a relationship. People at work have great advice, which is not great advice. They tell us, oh, you need to leave him. You need to leave her. And so we want today to go to God's word, and we want to give you some amazing messages of truth. And honestly, it's counterculture. It's counterculture. The word of God today is counterculture. But we want to give you a mixtape for your relationships today. And I want to say this, that y'all, I was an 80s kid. I really was an 80s kid. I want to show you a picture just to prove it. Look at that hair. Yes, y'all, I had that haircut before Vanilla Ice had that haircut. And y'all can't see, but right behind me there was a tail. I had one of those tails that went all the way down my back. But I was an 80s kid and grew up with E.T. Y'all remember E.T.? E.T., that was a movie. And y'all, Michael Jackson was it. Michael Jackson. Man, who had the vest? Anybody here have the vest or the parachute pants? Nobody. Wow. Okay, one person. Okay, did you have the glove, though? Okay, good, because that would have been going way too far to have the glove. But Michael Jackson, he was awesome, but I couldn't understand a lot of what he said. What does mama say, mama saw, mama kisa mean? I don't know. Or Shimon. I mean, Michael Jackson had his own language, but he was awesome. But who remembers Kid and Play? Do y'all remember Kid and Play? Yo, I remembered every one of those dance moves. I still know them. Hey, remember when they would jump over? I can't do that anymore. I got bad knees. If I did that, I wouldn't be able to get up. Y'all would have to come and pray for me. But do y'all remember British Knight shoes? Who had some BK, some British Knight shoes? Yes, those shoes were awesome. I couldn't afford British Knight shoes. I had the LA Gears. All right, and who remembers toys from the 80s, like the Rubik's Cube? Y'all, that toy was from the devil. I could never figure out that. I spent hours trying. I ended up taking the stickers off and putting all the colors on one side because that it really was. It was from the devil. But who remembers Saturday morning cartoons? Yo, Saturday, the Thundercats, the Smurfs. Oh my goodness, Fraggle Rock. There's some 80s folks in here. But you knew that Saturday morning cartoons were over when the Rockford Files would come on. I hated that show. That was it. That was it for Saturday morning cartoons. Y'all remember that some of y'all probably remember when TV would shut off at midnight? We didn't have 24-hour-a-day TV. Y'all, I remember you would watch Johnny Carson, and then there would be like the Star Spangled Banner, and then it would go boop. And then you'd have to turn the TV off because there was no more TV. That was the 80s. It was the 80s. We played outside in the 80s. We had a big old hill by our house, and we would build go-karts. Me and my friends, we build these go-karts, and we go down this crazy hill. I don't know how any of us are alive, but we played outside. Y'all, I remember one time where I was making a go-kart, and I was hammering something. Man, I was going at this thing, and I stuck the claw of the hammer in the top of my head. I did that, and I felt it, and there was a hole, but it wasn't bleeding. I said, I better go show my mom this. By the time I walked from where I was building the go-kart to where I went into the house, I looked like I was covered in blood. My mom was terrified. I thought it was funny. Well, y'all, we would have rock wars. We had a creek in our neighborhood, and so kids from one neighborhood would be over here. We'd build up all our fortifications, and we'd get behind things. And, y'all, we would throw rocks at each other for fun. Y'all, I don't know how I'm alive today, but we'd like chunk rocks. I remember seeing, ooh, there's a big one, and moving. I don't know how we're alive today, but man, we played outside. We made it somehow. We made it somehow. That blows me away. But we're talking about mixtapes today. And y'all, there were some good songs that we put on some mixtapes. Some of us had girlfriends and some of us didn't. Some of us had boyfriends and some of us didn't. So we would make a mixtape. Of course, we were conveying all of our emotions and everything. We were pouring them into that tape, and we'd give that tape to them and say, baby, everything that's sung on the song is what I mean for you. So we would give them those songs. And man, I remember I made so many mixtapes. I made one tape that I wore out. And I played a song over and over again, and I had it stuck in my head. Do y'all remember Ice Ice Baby? All right, stop. Ice is back. Something. Flow like a harpoon. Will it ever stop? It needs to stop. We're gonna stop. But I would put songs like, I wanna know what love is. Y'all know the rest of that song? That was really bad. Can you do it again? I wanna know what love is. Woo, there you go. Just a small town girl. Yes, we need to keep our day jobs. We'll get back to preaching here. Get back to preaching. So today we're going to make a mixtape for raising kids. For raising kids. So half of y'all just checked out. Well, I don't have kids. Well, if you have parents, do you have a parent? Anybody in here have parents? If you have parents, this sermon is for you. If you don't have kids, this sermon is for you. We're talking about relationship today. In fact, you can't leave anyways. I've had the ushers lock the doors. So you're just going to have to listen. But honestly, I want us to, I made a mixtape today, and I want our DJ to play the first song on our mixtape.
I need somebody.
Help.
Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone.
Help. That's a good song. As a parent, have you ever felt like you needed some help? Kids, do you ever feel like mom and dad need some help? There's some kids shaking their heads in here, but yes, we do. And I'll tell you, the scariest hood that I've ever been in is parenthood. Here's why. I'll be honest with you. I had four kids, and man, sometimes I'm like, God, I'm responsible for four humans. I'm responsible for them. And sometimes parenting can be hard. And we honestly, sometimes, as parents, we're tempted because we don't want our kids to face disappointment. We don't want our kids to face trial. We don't want our kids to face tough situation. And as a parent, sometimes we're tempted to take our kids away from every possible moment of trouble. And honestly, God uses trouble sometimes. God uses hard situations sometimes. And we miss opportunities to disciple our kids from time to time. And it's honestly very easy to talk to our kids about God when everything's going really well. When we're getting blessed. ooh, kids, look what God did today. Man, this was amazing. Look how God blessed us. It's easy to do that. But it's harder to tell your kids that God is good when tough times come. When your prayer doesn't quite get answered the way you wanted it to get answered, it's tougher to tell our kids that God is still good even when trouble comes. Because here's the truth, folks. God is good no matter what happens. He's good on good days and he's good on bad days. But we serve a God that is always good. John 16 and 33 says it like this. I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Because here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Not the most popular scripture. Yay! In this world we will have trouble. Woohoo! That's a great word, Pastor. But honestly, it's the truth. And we sometimes get blown away when we have our world's rocked by trouble. Because we're propping things up, and sometimes we're trying to make it heaven here on earth. And we stack things up and we want things just so. And we never want disappointment. And sometimes there's failure. And sometimes there's trouble. And sometimes things don't go the way we think they should go. And we try to prop up heaven here on earth. But God says, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. But I have overcome the world. And so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about that there are two ways that we as parents handle situations and that we also teach our kids to handle certain situations. Because when trouble comes, and it will come, we can handle a situation in one or two ways. We can get bitter or we can get better. We can get bitter or we can get better. What am I talking about here today? It's so easy to praise God. It's so easy to honor God when things are going right. But when things are tough, we can sometimes turn and say, God, why? Why is this happening? We begin to question God, why? And he's already given us an answer, because in this world, you will have trouble. But God, why didn't this go the way I thought it would go? Because in this world, you will have trouble. How come so-and-so got sick? Because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's real quiet in here. But I want to tell you, it's the truth. And we teach our kids to handle situations certain ways. When a tough time comes, we can get bitter. We can say, that's it, God. I prayed about this and that is it. Okay, God, we're getting bitter. We're stepping away. We are, you know what, this didn't work out the way I thought it would. I don't trust you, God. That's it. And God's saying, don't get bitter, get better. He's saying, trust me in this. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Things are going to happen. Things, and yes, we can pray for things, and God does take care of us, and God does provide. But honestly, folks, bad things happen to good people. But it doesn't mean that God is not good. And when we respond to a situation, our kids watch us. Because we say, oh God, you're so good when things are going well. But our hands go down when it's tough. We begin to show our kids, we're preaching to our kids when things aren't going right. When things aren't going right and we're starting to get angry and we're starting to cuss the boss at work and we're starting to get angry about our situation. We're teaching our kids how to get bitter, not better. And as a parent, one of my biggest regrets as a parent is missing opportunities to disciple my kids. Some of those opportunities are there when God does something amazing and I point him out. Look, God did this. And when something doesn't go our way and we go through a struggle, I want to disciple my kids through that so they don't get stuck. And we were talking about prodigal sons and daughters. You know how prodigal sons and daughters become prodigal sons and daughters? they get stuck. They begin to question God. Why? Why? Why did this happen, God? Why? Why? And the truth is we may not know that answer until we get there and He answers that question for us. And I know this is tough preaching, but I want to tell you that we can get stuck in our faith. The enemy can rob us of our faith. When we begin to trust God, we say, God, why? Have you ever been in a car with somebody you truly didn't trust driving? You know who I'm talking about. Oh goodness, people are elbowing each other. But you don't trust their driving. You're kind of like, oh, wait a minute, you're going too fast here. You know that's a stop sign we're coming up to. You might want to brake. Why are you not braking? We should stop here. And we begin to question them because we don't think they are capable of driving. We begin to question everything they're doing. We're like holding the seat. And we do that with God sometimes. God, why? God, why? God, why? God, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. God is saying there is an opportunity in that trial. You're facing something right now. Some of you are facing really, really tough situations, but you have an opportunity to get better or get bitter. You have an opportunity right now to trust God. And God may answer a prayer and God may help you, but one of the things that God does in every trial is He doesn't leave us. And the beautiful thing about God, when God's with us and we're in a storm, even though He doesn't calm the storm sometimes, He calms His child. He can calm us. And I'd rather face a storm with God with me than face a storm all by myself. And honestly, when we pull away and we say, that's it, God, I can't handle this, we're showing our kids how to handle that situation. And you might be from all walks of life at this point. There might be empty nesters in here. There might be people in here that just had a baby. But I want to tell you that God is good. And no matter where you are teaching someone, you are leading someone, you are showing them the way to respond. And I want to move on to the next song on the mixtape. Go ahead. Y'all remember this song? We are not strong, and I'll be your friend. Okay, some of y'all, that took y'all back to the roller skating rink. Y'all remember holding hands and doing that skating thing? And some of y'all could skate backwards. Not me. But that song, let me read those lyrics to you. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. That's what God does for us when we do go through those tough times. And oftentimes when we go through a tough situation, we try to lean on everything else but God. And we say, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And we question Him and we don't trust Him. You know what He told to John the Baptist? John the Baptist was in prison. It was a tough situation. John the Baptist was getting frustrated. He was going through trouble. And he sent a message to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, are you the one that I'm looking for, or do I look for somebody else? Because in John the Baptist's mind, he was like, why am I in prison? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I fighting this situation? Are you who you say you are? And what we do when we face a tough situation is we question the identity of God. Are you really God? Because if you were really God, why did that happen? And God's wanting us to say, lean on me. Trust me. And what He told to John the Baptist, He said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. And y'all, He has told us over and over again that in this world we will have troubles. And the problem is we've been fed a line. We have somehow come to believe that if we are Christians and we trust God, that everything should be smoothed out, that everything should be okay. And the truth is, it's not always that way, because stuff happens. Just recently, I had an opportunity to disciple one of my kids, and it was a very, very tough situation. But my daughter went off to college about 2 months ago. We sent her off to school, and y'all, we bought her a nice car. And let me just say, it's nicer than both her parents' cars. But we wanted to send her off with a very safe car, so we bought her a Volvo. It's the safest car you can buy. So we sent her off in that car, and I said, Isabel, I want you to change the oil. I need you to make sure that. So we wanted her to take care of it. It hurt. We really wanted to invest in her future, so it hurt us a little bit. It was painful. But we wanted to set her up. We wanted to make sure she was good, and that she had a car that would take her through college, and a car that would take her through, you know, to start off her life. So we sent her off with that car. And then she was on her way home from school a couple weeks ago, and we got a phone call. Dad, I wrecked the car. And the first thing I said is, baby, are you okay? Are you okay? She says, yeah, we're fine. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But in the back of my mind, I began to think, I haven't even made the first car payment yet. I haven't made the first car payment yet. And I wanted to, like, why did you get off the highway? Why did you, what are you doing? And right then, God just said, stop. I provided for the car. I kept my hands over her, and I'll provide for the repairs. And I want to tell you that, God, that just hit my heart so hard. And it was an opportunity for me to act like an idiot and get bitter, or trust God and get better. And y'all, we had people that blessed us. We had people that drove all the way 2.5 hours to go and help tow our daughter back and take care of her. And you know who you are, and God's gonna bless you. Thank you so, so much. But it was an amazing opportunity for me to tell my daughter that we can depend on God. Even though the situation was awful, even though the situation stunk, because honestly, we had all the money ready to pay the first payment. We were going to pay the car off. And before I even handed the money over, the car was wrecked. And so that tells me one thing, that we have to trust God. Things are not always going to work out. Things are not always going to go our way. And I know this isn't the most popular message, but we are training our kids. We are teaching our kids the way we respond to things. For the very last track on the mixtape today, go ahead and kick that off there, DJ. That's a good song.
Where the eagles cry on the mountain high.
Come on now, that's a good voice right there.
From the world below, up where the clear winds blow.
Let me read the lyrics to that. Love lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love lift us up where we belong, far from the world below, up where the clear winds blow. If we changed one word of that song, we could make that into an amazing church song. Lord, lift us up where we belong. And honestly, God wants to do that. The last thing I want to talk to us about is our relationship with God. It's the most important relationship that you will ever have. And honestly, if you love God, God will change you. If you love God, God will make you a better daddy. God will make you a better mama. He'll make you a better grandma. He'll make you a better boss. He'll make you a better parent. He will change everything in your life. And if your relationships are struggling today, I can probably point out the one key thing is your relationship with God. Because I can tell you this, the closer I get to God, the more God is asking for the selfish things in my life. The closer I get to God, the more God says, Will, you need to hand that up. You need to hand that over. And I say, God, I can't. And God says, all right, then you'll get bitter. And when I hand those things over, I get better. And I become a parent that honors God and responds differently. We can try to teach our children, but most things are not taught, they're caught. They're caught. Has your kids caught you praying? Have our kids caught us studying God's word? Have our kids, I'm not trying to make you feel bad today. I'm preaching to me. Have my kids caught me loving God? Have they caught me loving God? And here's the thing, we can pass down generational curses, we can pass down our temper, we can pass down, you know how they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? We can pass some messed up stuff down to our kids. And some of us are dealing with messed up stuff that our parents passed down to us. But God can break those things. And I want to tell you this, if God heals that pain in your life, then you don't pass that pain down to your kids. We all hear the saying that hurting people hurt people. Now, what would happen if God healed you? What would happen if you gave all of that pain back to God and you allowed God to use that? God does not waste pain. He doesn't waste pain. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." Real relationship. When we have real relationship with God, we can pass that down. And we can't pass down anything that we don't possess ourselves. So let's pass that down. And I want to end with a story. A couple weeks ago, we took our family to Enchanted Rock. It's a beautiful place out in the middle of nowhere. It's like a mountain in the middle of nowhere. We went up on the top of this mountain. And y'all, I'm 41 years old. And by the time I reached the top of this mountain, I felt like I was 41. But we had all our kids up there, and we are just, enjoying the beautiful scenery. It's this amazing creation of God out there. We were just enjoying it. And then I remembered hearing that there were caves at Enchanted Rock. And so I found the entrance to one of those caves, and I said, "Kids, let's check this out." So I brought the wife and the kids down into this big hole, and it took us a little while to get down into the entrance of the cave. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And this family came in right after us. They had headlamps on. They looked like, man, they knew what they were doing. And they said, "You know that these caves go all the way out the back of this mountain." And I said, "Really? That's awesome." But we weren't prepared to go into a cave system that day. We had our phones. You know, we didn't have headlights. We can't climb over rocks with our phones. So I said, "That's great. Y'all have fun with that." And so we were about to leave. The problem is that people saw us going down into that cave, and about 25 kids with two adults started piling in to that cave behind us. We couldn't get out. And so I talked to the guy, the family, that said, "Okay, you guys have been through this cave?" "Oh, yeah, it goes all the way out the other side. It's great." So we started following this family deep down into the heart of this mountain. We started climbing over rocks, and they were slippery, and some of them you could barely even fit through. And I'm like talking to the guy in front, "You've been through here, right?" "Oh, yeah, I've been through here." "All right, okay. And we kept going. We were down there like an hour. Dude, we keep going down. Do we ever get out?" And he said, "Yeah, we do. All of a sudden, I started seeing nervousness on him. And I said, do you know where you're going? Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember. I said, dude, I'm not following you anymore. And he said, okay, I think it's this way. And he pointed down to another hole. And above that hole, there were the letters D-E-A-D, dead, with an arrow. I said, dude, if something says dead, you don't go down there. And I remember just feeling in my heart, God was saying, look up. Stop following him and look up to me. And I looked up and there was this tiniest light. And I felt like God was saying, stop following. Stop following. You're only going to go into a pit and die. Truthful. But look up. And y'all, I told that guy, dude, I'm not following you anymore. We're going up. We're getting out of this hole. And y'all, there was the first way to get up. It was like eight feet just to get to the rock above us. So I climbed up to that. And I started grabbing my kids, and then I would climb up more, and I'd grab my kids, and I'd grab Tabitha, and we finally got out of that hole and got that other family down the hole, out of the hole. And y'all, it was like God was talking to me, stop following the world. Lead your family. Look up. Look to me. And just like that song said, Lord, lift us up where we belong. God wants to lift our families up where we belong. He wants to get us out of the pit. And y'all, I still didn't tell you that there were still 20 kids down there in that cave. And I called down to the two adults with those kids and said, do y'all need help? And the adults said, yes, God, please. I looked down and the fear on those adults' faces. We got in over our heads, folks. And there's some times that we get in over our heads and we need to look up to God. So we started passing little kids up, and these were little kids. We started passing them up and we all got out. And I think that's what the gospel says to us, is once you get out, grab somebody else and pull them up with you. God wants us to lead our families. He wants us to navigate out of tough situations where we can get bitter, where we can say, God, I don't trust you. Or we can get bitter and say, God, I that's it, I'm done. Or we can say, God, help me through this. Show me where I'm not trusting you. I hate that this happened, God, but I need your strength. And only God can get you through some of the toughest things in life. And there's a lot of people, when the tough things come, they turn away from the one thing that can help them the most, the grace and the mercy and the power of God. That's where we get peace. He said it himself. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And y'all, one day we'll know the answers to all those tough questions, those whys. But God wants us to trust them today. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we come back to you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, we want to love you, God. We want to get better, not bitter. God, there's situations that come that are like a punch in the stomach. We get paralyzed. We don't know what to do. But God, we're going to look to you. We want to trust you, God. You know what you're doing. You are in control. And God, you are good no matter what happens. Help us to get better. Help us to trust you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, we give you everything back. Lift us up where we belong. Help us to get out of the pit. And Lord, start the change in us. We can be the catalyst for all change. God, your spirit, your grace, your mercy, your love, it makes us better people. We thank you, God, for that today. We lean on you, God. We trust you. We ask that you would have your way in all of our lives. In every relationship we have, we give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give God some praise in the house today?